So if you've missed any of them, they are all online for you to go back to. The first one, Harold told us, that was the introduction, and you have enough time to do everything that God has called you to do. That was the first one. And the second one, Dee Lamb came and she talked to us about you have time for intimacy with God. Another great sermon. And then the third one, last week, Brad came and talked to us about you have time to become. And again, it was wonderful. There are some video things that you might miss if you're listening audio-wise, but still so much great information. So if you are interested in checking those out, you'd go to harvestva.org. And then on the tab at the top, it'll say media, and you'll see audio sermons there. So today, ours is you have time to rest. Now, I am probably a very unlikely person to be speaking about rest. My mom would tell the story that when I was really young, I did not learn to run, to walk, but I learned to run with both arms in the air. And they thought for sure that I was going to burn out by the time I was 20. So, and then when I was in elementary school, I would eat fast at the table, and my father would say, "Why are you eating so fast? Are you going to a fire?" And when I was in high school, people would often say, "Are you from New York City?" Because I lived in Pennsylvania, but I talked kind of fast. And so today, I'll try to slow down just a little bit. But I am here not as an expert on rest by any means, but I am here as someone who is in process with the idea of rest. And I want to share with you some of the experiences and some of what God has put on my heart. So my family, growing up, both my parents were raised in very traditional churches, traditional denominations, and I think in that time anyway, there was a great sense of honoring Sunday as a day of rest, even if you didn't call it a Sabbath. I know my dad said he wasn't allowed to play baseball on the Sabbath. That was considered work. And I was talking with a friend, and she said her dad wasn't allowed to use scissors. So there were some definite signs of things. You know, there wasn't a lot of, as my dad would say, no buying and selling. That was part of his growing up. We couldn't do a lot of buying and selling because when I grew up, there still were blue laws, which meant that the stores were closed. In fact, here, when I first moved here in 1988, there were still blue laws, just barely for a few months here in the state of Virginia. So it hasn't been that long. When I was growing up, we had days, our Sundays were quiet days. We might go visit friends. Sunday afternoon naps were nice, and Sunday afternoon drives. And so when I grew up and had my own family, I thought, certainly, there's an importance. Sunday should be special. So how can I do that for my kids? So I tried to have this special box of toys, and it had puzzles with Jesus on it and books about Jesus and the Noah's Ark toy, and I put them, and they can only play with those on Sundays, and, you know, you can wear a dress and your nice, prettiest clothes on Sundays. And then I thought, wait, those toys, why can't they play with them all week and learn about Jesus? Wouldn't that be a good idea? So I was realizing rules are not the way to go. So then I thought, well, let's have a month, a Sabbath month, and we can just add up all those days through the year. We'll put them in 1 month. And so we did our Sabbath month in July, because when you're on a merry-go-round, it's a lot of fun for a while, and then it gets tiring, and you need to step off and take a look at it, and you think, oh, I really miss that. That looks like fun. And you jump back on. And so that's kind of how our Sabbath month was. We didn't choose to do any extra activities, and we just enjoyed the outside and the weather. And then the kids grew up, and they wanted to do different things and help with VBS, and the Sabbath month was no more. So we tried, what about doing Sunday Sabbath? You know, like I say, Sunday is a day of rest. Well, when your husband is a pastor, Sundays are not a day of rest. So that just didn't work. And then we tried Saturdays, but honestly, that's when all the rest of everybody's having fun doing birthday parties and other things. That's not a day of rest either. So we tried very hard, and I would say we're still in process with that. I'll talk about it later, but there was still this drawing in my heart of having a day of rest. And why is that? I believe it's because God created rest. If you look, Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, the context is God is in the Garden of Eden. He's just spent 6 days creating the most amazing world. And it says here, by the sixth day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from the work of creating that he had done. Now, he had been working hard creating all of what I would consider the essentials. He created a sun and a moon. He created day and night, because he knew that we couldn't do 24 hours without a break. He created that earth at such a tilt away from the sun so we would not burn up. He created the atmosphere to cover that earth so that it has all the ingredients to keep us healthy and alive. He created plants for the enjoyment of the animals to eat, for the enjoyment of us to eat, and for us to just love to look at. He created the animals. He created people. He created all these wonderful things, and he gets to the seventh day, and he created rest. On the seventh day, he created rest. God is limitless. He didn't need a day to rest. He wasn't like, wow, I'm tired. I got to prop my feet up. No, he could have kept going, but he set that as a principle for us. He created rest. The Hebrew word rest, if you look there, God, the Hebrew word rest means ceased or stopped. It's from the same root word for the word Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? So it doesn't call it Sabbath here. It just says rest, but it's the same principle. God blessed the seventh day. It's the only day he blessed. He did some amazing things on those first 6 days, but he didn't bless any of those. He blessed the seventh. He blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. Holy is set apart. Precious, normal, not normal. It's different. It's holy. It was as if God was saying, this is a special day. So next time we see a day of rest is in Exodus chapter 16. Now, this week, if you have time, that entire chapter is really very powerful to read. So I'm taking snippets today, but you might want to mark that down for some time this week. The Israelites are in the desert of sin. Yeah, it's a place, but an interesting thing, huh? The desert of sin, and they have been out of Egypt for the last 2.5 months or so. And in Egypt, remember, they were in slavery. They were slaves. And here they are in the desert saying, we shouldn't have left. We had it so good. What were we thinking? We're starving to death here. And the Lord says to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Now, this had never happened to them before. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron, they gathered all the Israelites together, and they passed along the message. Here's the deal, folks. In our house, we say, it's the deal, Shmuel. So that's what they told them. And sure enough, the next morning, little tiny flakes, there's dew on the ground, but then these little tiny flakes of bread were on the ground just as God said. And the people said, what is it? Manna is what we call it. The word manna actually means, what is it? So the people are looking and they're thinking, this is great. God has provided for us. Verse 16, this is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. This is a little less than an omer. I mean, a little more. So an omer is just slightly less than a gallon. And so take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. When they measured it by quarts, the person who gathered a lot had no surplus. The person who gathered a little had no shortage. Each gathered as much as he needed to eat. God provided just what they needed that day. He provided enough for them. He said, just gather for one day. I'll take care of you the next day. But some of those people didn't trust, and they thought, wait, I've got a better plan. Verse 19, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it till morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. So on the sixth day, you know, the rule had been so far, you gather enough for that day. You don't keep any leftovers. But on the sixth day, they had to gather two omers. And they got to eat what they wanted on day six. And they got to keep the leftovers for day seven. And in the morning of day seven, their manna was fine. No maggots, no spoilage. God provided just what they needed so that they could rest. Moses told them, 6 days you're to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. God was teaching them the principle of how to rest and how to trust him. Now, he says the Sabbath, he talks about it, it's a principle there. But a few short chapters later in Exodus 20, you might know that scripture as the chapter where Moses is given the Ten Commandments. And verse 8, we hear the Sabbath again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who lives with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. God commanded rest. Now, if you notice that same wording at the very end, he said, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Back in Genesis 2, God had blessed that seventh day and made it holy. You know, this wasn't a new concept for the Israelites, because they had been living it now for several weeks. But it was almost as if God said, okay, so you've been doing this, but let me tell you something. At this point, you know, on our Sabbath day, the manna grocery store is closed. You have no option to get more food. I've given you a forced day of rest, as it were. But someday, you're going to have a choice, and I want you to choose rest. I believe that's what the command was. Remember the Sabbath day. Think of it always so as never to forget it. These are the Hebrew translations. The root word for Sabbath, we already talked about, means cease or stop. And one of the translations that I was looking up said intermission. And I thought, ooh, I like that. As a musician, I don't know if you know, I have a degree in music education. That was the first career that never happened because I ended up homeschooling, but that's okay. So I love to go to symphonies, and in the middle, there's this intermission. It's a short time where after the first half, then I have that opportunity to chat with the people I came with. Wow, wasn't that amazing? You know that place where the violins did that? Wow, wasn't that so great? And you look at the program, and you think, this is so wonderful. I can't wait for the next part. It's anticipation. And to me, that's what intermission says, is anticipation. I think that's the way God wanted a day of rest so we could anticipate the goodness of what is to come. So then, holy, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is to be distinguished from all the ordinary days. It's to be held sacred. And my favorite part, when I was reading through this, I thought, this is for everybody. In it, you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, regardless of gender, regardless of age, rest, your male or female servant, regardless of gender, rest, or your cattle or your sojourner who lives with you. A sojourner would have been a visitor just passing through, probably from another country. Regardless of race or ethnicity, rest. Even the cattle get a chance to rest. All the living things need rest. My translation, if I were to take this chapter here, this section of Exodus 20, verse 8 through verse 10, the Joy Moore translation. Think of the day of rest always so as never to forget it, as a day to be distinguished from ordinary days and held sacred. Do the work that needs to be done in 6 days, but stop on the seventh day because that day belongs to God. Don't work, but don't make your kids or anybody else do your work either. If God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, you can certainly accomplish all your work in 6 days and rest on the seventh. God commanded rest. There were only 10 commandments. I think at that time, there were something like over 700 laws. And God had boiled it down to 10, maybe God's top 10, as it were. And rest made the cut. I think he thinks it's pretty important. The Jews are not the only ones who have a day of rest. That is definitely part of their culture. But Babylonians, Zoroastrians, Buddhists, Cherokees, Wiccans, and Muslims, they all have a day of rest. In Russia, even to this day, there's a day called Sabbatnik. Sounds a little bit like the word Sabbath, huh? And it is a day where the population, they stop working their normal jobs, and they do volunteer work. They clean up the trash in the streets. They do different things for the community. Secular universities is where we often hear the word Sabbath, secular and Christian universities. You know, I remember my dad even saying sabbaticals are pretty nice to have. You know, you get a break from what you're doing. That's what a sabbatical is for a professor. They get a break from their normal work for them to reflect, to maybe learn something new, to rest a little bit, and maybe to publish some, but it's still stopping what they normally do. In 2016, the country of Denmark was named the happiest country in the world. Now, how in the world did they get that distinguished? Well, Norway and Sweden, they're often kind of in the top 10 altogether. And there are researchers in a happiness research institute. Yeah, I would like that job, huh? And so they were looking and saying, why Denmark? And they figured that it was because of hygge. I'd never heard this word before until very recently. Photo, please. Hygge. Now, doesn't that look inviting? I'd like to jump in that picture right about now. Well, the fire might be a little warm for today, but hygge is the Danish word for cozy. It's a feeling of calm togetherness and the enjoyment of simple pleasures such as candles, fires, fuzzy knitted socks, sweets, warm drinks, freshly baked bread, comfort food, and community. In Denmark, they consciously choose to have hygge together, and they choose and plan for that, and all week they talk about, hey, we're going to, I don't know, I think hyggelig is the verb. It all gets confusing, but we'll just stick with hygge. And they make the plan for that, and then they get together Saturday, Sunday, on the weekend, and then all the next week they talk about how wonderful their hygge was. But they make that intentional time to enjoy what we would say maybe the old-fashioned pleasures of life. Someone summarized it as, it's about family, being together, baked bread, and candles. And as soon as I read that, I thought, oh, that sounds really familiar to me. That sounds like, photo please. It sounds like Shabbat. Family and friends, close friends gather together. Candles are lit. Freshly baked challah and wine are served. I believe that there's a principle there. Whether the people in Denmark know what they're doing or not, they're still celebrating the principle of rest. And it was the blessing that God gave to the Jews to say, take this day of rest. God created rest. He commanded rest. He created our bodies to rest. Some of you may disagree with that. But so I'm going to give you some scientific reasonings for that. This year, okay, so last year was a little difficult on the end of last year, all of that election cycle and everything. I just felt negativity in my life. And I needed to make some changes to my media diet. And I decided that this year was the year of being positive. And so when I was talking to my daughters about that, Victoria sent me a book called Switch On Your Brain. Yes. I did not take it personally. It was by Dr. Caroline Leaf. And her whole premise is that our brain, that being positive changes the physical makeup of your brain. And that one of the best things that we can do for our brain is to rest. So the summary, if you want to read all the details, I get no kickbacks from that, but it's a very good book. Our brain has a series of networks, including one called the default mode network. Now, that default mode network is like the conductor of an orchestra, and it helps all the other networks work together. Interestingly enough, when you switch off the world, you switch on that default mode network. It starts this process of more introspective and deep thinking. So I'm reading this section, and it says Sabbath in the brain. I'm preparing for today, so naturally I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Here's what it says. In the busyness of life and the flurry of everyday activity, we expose ourselves to the possibility of developing a chaotic mindset with the net result of neurochemical and electromagnetic chaos in the brain. This feels like endless loops and spirals of thinking that can easily get out of control. Please don't raise your hand if this relates to you. When we activate the DMN, however, it's almost like a Sabbath in the brain, which is a cessation, or like a stopping, from the conscious flurry of work and a withdrawal into the depths of our mind. It's like a mental rebooting process to reconnect with who we are and with our Savior to bring perspective to the issues of life. Okay, continuing on. In fact, when we don't frequently slow down and enter this rest state, this Sabbath in the brain, we disrupt natural functions in the brain. Research shows that when we don't engage in this disciplined and focused self-reflective pattern of thinking that activates that default mode network, we may experience negative self-esteem, depression, worry, anxiety and health issues, and overfocus on generalized and short-term memory issues. We may get stuck, unable to cope, and have a tendency to focus on the problem and not on the solution. In fact, as things go wrong in the processing of information in the default mode network, the mishandled data is passed on to other networks in the brain where it creates additional problems. These additional problems can be experienced as memory issues, cloudy and fuzzy thinking, anxiety, depression, and many other manifestations, including neuropsychiatric disorders. Two of those examples would be Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease. Our brains are sophisticated computers. They need to reboot every now and then. This week, I try to FaceTime with Abigail, who's out in Iowa going to college. I try to FaceTime with her regularly. And this week, when we were FaceTiming, she could not see my picture. My camera wasn't working. It's been fine. We've done this frequently. And I couldn't figure out. I'd never had this problem before. And I thought, oh, my goodness, my computer's broken. And then I had a thought. My husband always tells me, have you turned it off? So I turned it off and realized, you know, I probably haven't turned it off all week. And I turned it back on, and everything was fine. I think our brains are the same way. Sometimes we just need to turn it off for a little bit. And when we turn it back on, everything aligns in a much better way. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. He created our bodies to rest. So why don't we find time to rest? I believe that the enemy of our soul speaks lies about what rest is so that we don't implement it in our lives. And we think, well, it has to look like this, or we have to do this, or it has to be this way. And I believe Jesus modeled the truth. Jesus modeled rest. So one of the lies I believe that we believe, I put myself in there, sometimes I believe is rest says we're lazy. But the truth is that Jesus modeled the need to take time from work and ministry at regular intervals. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, right there, Jesus has just healed a man of leprosy, and he says, don't tell anybody, just go have the go to the priest, have him take a look at you. But verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Often. There was time for work. It isn't like he sat around doing nothing all day. There was a time for work, but there was time for rest. Another lie is that busyness is a sign of importance. Look how full my calendar is. Or sometimes we feel like our existence is only validated if we're really busy. Jesus was baptized before his ministry. You can read about it in Matthew 4. And God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus had done nothing. He hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't driven out any demons. He had performed no miracles. He just was. And God said, this is my beloved son. I love him. I don't love him because of what he does. I love him because of who he is. Another lie, God will reward us based on how busy we are. Or the harder we work, the more we'll have. I don't know if you've heard that saying, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. Okay? Some give it... quote, it's really not even Benjamin Franklin. It was way before that. It's an English political theorist that wrote that idea. That's not true. God promised, this isn't an example from Jesus, but I'm going back to Exodus. God promised to provide for those Israelites. On the seventh day when they rested, they weren't doing anything, and yet God had provided for them. God promised to provide for the Israelites if they would promise to obey, not work harder. When they worked harder, their leftovers became moldy. They had to learn to trust that God would provide. Another lie is that we can't rest because we have too much to do. Jesus realized that it was important to withdraw and rest, even in the face of pressing needs. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 32, John the Baptist has just been beheaded, and his disciples have been out on what we might call a crusade, teaching and healing. And so they come back and they kind of need to debrief. Verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. He needed to get rest. They didn't even have time to eat. I know that there have been some days that my life has been so busy, I look at the clock and I think, I totally missed lunch. Need a little bit of time. Last, a day of rest is a waste of time. Mark 2, chapter 2, verses 23 through 28 is a scripture there that you might want to come back to again this week to take a look. But Jesus is saying Sabbath was made to serve people, was made to serve people instead of people being created to serve the Sabbath. Sabbath is not a day, it's a blessing. It's a day of rest. It's not a burden. I like the way Matthew Henry, in his commentary, he said, the Sabbath is a sacred and divine institution, a privilege and a benefit, not a task and drudgery. God never designed it to be a burden to us. Therefore, we must not make it so to ourselves. Every observance respecting it is to be interpreted by the rule of mercy. I'm going to read that again. That was a quote I added later, so it's not on a slide. Every observance respecting it is to be interpreted by the rule of mercy. Jesus modeled rest. As followers of Jesus, we're to do what he did. So we have time to rest. You have time to rest. What does rest look like? I think it looks different for everyone. That whole interpreting it by the rule of mercy, I just love that. You know, Jesus wasn't bound by legalism and laws on the Sabbath. There are several instances where he healed people on the Sabbath. There was one, Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. He heals a woman on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are saying to the people, okay, you guys come in on 6 days. You have 6 days to come in. Don't come on that seventh day. Don't come to get healed on the seventh day. And Jesus is thinking, wait a minute, I can heal on the seventh day. I can do good. In one instance, he says about a woman, it's been for 18 years, she's been tied up. Can she not be set free on the Sabbath day? So here are the rules. The rules are, stop working. That's it. You know, I was putting together, these reflect, remember it. And I look back in the scripture, I'm like, it says to remember the Sabbath day, you know, hold it in your mind, but stop working. That was it. It didn't say we couldn't buy and sell and we couldn't do, you know, I understand the translation of that. But I think God is, the principle is stop doing the normal work you do. That's not so difficult. Stop working. So if you were in my home and we were celebrating a day of rest, if you were Harold Moore, you would be maybe riding your bike for 25 miles or longer, and then you'd come back home, take a shower, sit in your recliner watching a documentary with your eyes closed. That's his day of rest. That is not a day of rest to me. That's hard work. But to him, that's where he can stop his normal work. He can think. He's by himself. He's exercising. That works for him. Now, me, on the other hand, I'm over here. I'm with the comfy blanket and a good book and a cup of tea. Maybe working on some scrapbook online, because that's what I like to do with photos. But to somebody else, it might be work to be reading classic literature or to whatever, working on pictures. That doesn't interest them at all. But for me, that's how my body recharges. That is rest to my soul. That's stopping all the normal everyday work that I do to be able to have time to rest. So I believe that making rest a reality, work for one is delight for another. Again, we're having mercy with each other. We're not judging what one does on the Sabbath or doesn't do. I think the second thing is days don't matter. God said on the seventh day was the day of rest. Now later it was the Sabbath, but Sabbath means stop. It doesn't mean Sunday. Now, In the time of the Israelites, of course, they worked for 6 days and they had their seventh day off. Unfortunately, in our culture, there are many jobs that you're not consistently working for 6 days. And I think the principle of rest is what God was saying. So if you can't rest on Sunday, like in our house, Sunday's not resting, then why not find another time? So for instance, what our family has, we don't call it a Sabbath necessarily, but on Friday nights, usually somewhere around 5 o'clock, I get off work and I pick up Chinese on the way home, which makes our Chinese foreign exchange student, Cecilia, very happy to have Chinese. And so I like Chinese too. And so we eat Chinese food, we might play a game, we might watch a movie. We're just relaxing, doing nothing. In the morning, we sleep in. Every Saturday we can, yeah. And anytime we can, we sleep. Now, you know, I have to wake up the girls because otherwise they'd be sleeping till the next day. But we for the last, I don't know how many years, Harold has made us breakfast, and I'm not telling you what time, so you can't show up. But for that time before breakfast, I may wake up and read or just think. It's great to think. You think of ideas you hadn't thought of. If you are going, you have no time to think, to dream, to plan, to choose. Then we have breakfast. Then we have blessings. And then we clean up breakfast. And by that point, it might be noon. And I haven't done anything for the last 19 hours. That doesn't look like what most people would think of as a Sabbath. But to us, it's a time of rest. Often on Saturday nights, we also stop about 6 o'clock. And we don't work on Saturday nights in preparation for Sunday, because Sunday's a work day. But it's a way of resting. It's all chopped up in some ways, but in other ways, it's what our body needs. It's time to rest. And the last one, some rest is better than no rest. So, okay, maybe you don't have 19 hours. Maybe you don't even have 4 hours, but can you take 2 hours to say, I'm going to stop work on a Sunday afternoon? Maybe I say to Harold, the most holy thing you can do is take a nap. Yes. It's true, because when you sleep, all those things are, I'm not even going to go into all the science, but it all goes back together in a better way. Sleep is a wonderful refresher. You have a different perspective. I believe you just think differently about things. If you are resting and taking time to be quiet and you fall asleep, it's probably because you needed it. Look for little opportunities, even if it's 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, to find a time. God created rest. God commanded rest. God created our bodies to rest. Jesus modeled rest. You have time to rest. Let's pray. God, thank you for creating rest. Thank you for your grace to us, not making us slaves to 24 hours, but giving us that time to rest, giving us permission, giving us the gift of rest. God, I myself just ask you to forgive me for the lies that I've believed about rest. That being busy is a value that makes me important. I choose to believe that I am your daughter and I'm valuable to you because of who I am, not because of what I do. God, today, help us to consider the lies that we might believe, to take time and really ask you, what are the lies that we believe about rest and why aren't we putting it in our lives? I thank you, God, for the truth that you're going to bring to our spirits even today. God, today we bring to you Pastor David on his sabbatical, who is taking time to rest. God, I ask that you would bless him, that you would use this time that he is able to stop his regular work and to focus on you. God, would you reveal yourself to him in powerful ways, that you would rest and recharge him. Father, I ask that as we are walking this out, that you would help us to look at our schedules and to make choices to trust you. Maybe we take one less shift at work so that we have a day to rest. That we have mercy with each other when we see someone else, even who's been here today to hear this word, and we say, doesn't look like they're listening. God, give us grace. Most of all, God, put in our hearts a value to rest, that we would not be so worried about the rules or how to do it to please you, but the principle of being with you, of hearing what you say, and of obedience. God, let us trust in you deeply, that you will provide for our every need. You will provide enough that we need. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I bless each one here. I bless each one to be who you've created them to be fully, and that they would take time to rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week.